daily basis. Sticks adds it up really nicely for us. And it was a total of 3 megawatt hours were sent from Swan Lake to the north.
Robert, you might add that that's just a natural operational deal, that if we have the line open, that you know, flows north and south in order to try to keep it.
Yeah, that's a typical way of operating. The intent there is to utilize load tables, maximize efficiencies at both lakes. The challenge with this, and I've discussed this with some in the room here, at certain loads, for example, 22 megawatts, Tyee can be an efficient range, but Swan Lake would be an inefficient range. So you would lower Tyee's megawatts and try and bring Swan up to a more efficient range, at the same time balancing water in the lakes. A couple more quick facts. Net zero operations continued through January of 2019, as we saw at that last page. Power was shifted north, power was shifted south. Net sum was near zero. SEPA worked with KBU through the holidays by dispatching Swan Lake in a manner that allowed for diesel generation to halt at each subsequent holiday weekend, and allowed for KBU staff to take a nice holiday weekend with their families. That was only done by turning Swan Lake off from time to time, allowing it to bank water so that during the holiday, extended holiday weekends, Swan Lake would provide all of KBU's loads. On December 31st, we ran the numbers for how all loads were dispatched from SEPA to KBU. And what we see is 60,783 megawatts out of Swan Lake, and the 32,160 megawatt hours at Tyee were dispatched. If we go back to January of 2012 and do that to December of 2018, which is the data that I have on sticks, I discussed this earlier, but the total is 37 gigawatt hours to the north and 204 gigawatt hours to the south, for net of 167 gigawatt hours to Ketchikan. Approximately $30 million in diesel savings. On average, $4.3 million a year. One thing I want to point out, that in January of 2018 December of 2018, this orange pie is a lot smaller. We saw it before. 37 to 204 is a lot bigger ratio than 0.9 to 33. Tyee sent that 33.1, and to the south, and Swan sent 0.9 gigawatt hours to the north, so 900 megawatt hours over the whole year. Trying to balance the lakes, we needed to be able to make this a lot bigger. On January 17th, models were showing that due to extreme temperatures and low inflows, SEPA would require approximately 6,000 megawatt hours to be dispatched from Swan Lake to Petersburg and Wrangell. Considering of concerns of with low water and understanding of previous interactions we had, SEPA met with KBU to discuss the intent to dispatch Swan Lake to the north. We all came to an agreement. KBU agreed to dedicate the remaining lake levels and inflows up to 6,000 megawatts to be dedicated and dispatched to the north, with the caveat that some Swan Lake level be utilized for deferred KBU maintenance in that next couple of days. So an agreement was made. From the agreement date until the breaking of the agreement date, 1/18 to 2/12, KBU consumed 2,000 megawatt hours. We were able to ship 2,200 up north. A lot of that came in that first week, and some of that was actually due to SEPA wanting to maintain the entire system so that we have all spinning reserves together, because a grid is a lot stronger than an island. On February 12th, during the Tuesday operations call, SEPA presented to the utilities a plan to operate Swan Lake at 9.5 megawatts later that week and send all energy to the north, all of Swan Lake, the rest of it to the north in agreement, in accordance with the agreement. We expressed our intent to energize L1 line from Swan Lake to Ketchikan and make Swan Lake available to Cape View for peak loads if there is an emergency. Clearly stated in our Tuesday operation call, that was our intent. If Cape View needed to meet peaks, we would be there for them, and it would take less than a minute to do so. Ketchikan requested to reconvene that afternoon after they could evaluate the condition of their diesel generators. And at 2:30 p.m., SIBO received a phone call from the Ketchikan City Manager's office expressing that if Swan Lake was not turned on by the close of business and dispatched to Ketchikan, that SIBO would be directly responsible for rolling blackouts. And we've had that conversation already. After SIBO had an internal review, and we discussed with our council, we responded at 5 p.m. and stated that we would do as KPU requested. SIBO does not want to be responsible for rolling blackouts. We had already mentioned how we could mitigate those, that at any point they needed megawatt hours out of Swan Lake, we'd be available. They wanted more. Looking at since the 18th till that date, total megawatt hours at Swan Lake was 44410, but the average megawatts that we were operating at was 7.35 megawatts. That's average at Swan Lake. Once we made the change in the agreement, Swan Lake, SIBO was asked to operate Swan Lake at about 3.77 megawatts. And the point of this is, because we are an organization that is here to manage water and efficiently dispatch. We really have two ways of doing that: preventing spill and maximizing efficiency. Water over the spillway and water out the tail race is the two ways to waste water, and we try our best to not waste water. At 7.5 where we were running, we intended to be up here at the 9, so to be up there at about 93. But given operations and the way TIE was operating at the time, we maximized at 90% turbine efficiency during that time period. Since then, we've been running at about 80%. So about 10% of the water in the turbine has been wasted. These curves are not my curves. These curves are Lidestrop and RW Beck curves. They reflect every single elevation or a number of elevations, 278 to 291, so somewhere in between the red and the gray line. But you can see that efficiency drops off significantly as megawatts go down. So if you're not operating in this area right here, you're not getting the maximum efficiency out of the unit. And what seems like only 10% is a lot of water as you do it day after day after day after day.
Robert, can I ask a question here? Does that, on your efficiency curve there, does that also take into account your elevations in your reservoirs when your pressures change through your...
The bottom blue line is at elevation 330. The yellow line is at elevation 317.
Okay, I got it now.
Blue line, middle blue line, that's 304, 291, 278. So 278 is the gray line, so we're somewhere close to that 278 operation range in between the gray and the orange. So right in there is where we would be.
Thank you,
man. Looking at just doing another sum of the total megawatt hours, since we actually shook hands and made a deal, it was about 3,049 megawatt hours from Swan sent to Ketchikan, and only 2,926 were sent to the north. So this is the day that we got the phone call, and obviously there were concerns with meeting peaks, and Ketchikan and TIPA knew those concerns and understood those concerns and were considered of those concerns and made the actually offered and said we would like to energize L1 to the 34.5 breaker in the KPU substation in the event lows and peaks need to be met, close the breaker and meet the loads. Since then, this is data that SEPA gets. KPU's data may be different, but this is the stuff, this is the information that KPU sends to SEPA for financial records. If it's different than what we see later, then we might have to have a talk about financial records. But as you can see from the date that we started the agreement till today, we haven't been really on average up there near the 28 megawatts. So our question is could the agreement have been upheld a little better than it has been?
Robert, can I answer that just briefly? You use this agreement and breaking of the agreement. And so we have a chain of emails that document this these events as they came about. And so I have one here on the 18th of January that indicated that we would stay, that we would agree to bottle up Swan to an elevation of 300 feet. So in fact, this here is written by Mr. Clayhammer. Barring any unusual circumstance, Swan will remain offline until an elevation of 300 feet has been reached. This will be reflective of the 15 feet held in reserve for the northern communities, plus a 5 foot operating range for KPU generation. Now we didn't go for the 5 feet, but that got integrated in there. So that was, we were offline. We bottled it up. So SEPA was the first to uncork that, not KPU, right? And then here from Clayhammer on the 4th, in response to cold temperatures, we have elected to keep Swan 2 online a little longer until temperatures normalize. So SEPA at the time was taking that Swan energy and shipping it north. It wasn't KPU who broke the agreement.
That's before February 12th?
That's correct. February 4th. Yeah.
The agreement was on February. Was broken on February.
Robert, with all due respect, you know, I could have put together a PowerPoint presentation and refuted a lot of what you said here today. I don't think that's the point of why we're here. But if I've got to do that from now on going on, you know, I'll spend the time and the resources to do that. You said the day we broke the agreement, you called 5 o'clock. The agreement we have, and I have a fax from you, is that we agreed to share the dispatch of Swan 50-50 going north and south. Not that we were keeping all the water like you just represented there. That's not reality. You know, you ought to get your facts right. That's not what I have from you in writing.
I agree. I never said, in fact, I showed charts about 3,000.
That's not what you implied.
That's what I implied.
Okay. Let's go ahead and make your explanation.
And my intent here is not to point out an agreement was broken. My intent was it is really important that SEPA has the ability to manage lakes and move water both north and south. Not only in the November, September time frame when we attempted it initially, but again, in the January time frame, and historically have done since the STI was put in place.
So Robert, when you show a slide with the handshake and you emphasize that, and then you say that you have the ability to ship it north, so what comes off is that, I won't even go there. That's the way it came off, and I regret that you do that. I think you're sadly mistaken.
I apologize if the handshake was
too much.
Your intent was quite clear, not well received.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts swimming around, but I guess one of my concerns is, and I understand Swan is a dedicated resource for KPU. But I feel like when KPU expressed concern over their ability to operate and needed to set some terms or asked for some things to be set in place so that they had assurances of dedicated resource for them, that that is something that should have been brought to the board for discussion about how we needed to be managing the resources together. As you said, Robert, you manage the lakes as together as one resource. You guys don't look at them as two separate dedicated to different area resources. You move the, you know, the power back and forth as necessary to be most efficient. So if that's really how we're running stuff, then everybody needs to be involved in the decision making or in the notification and understanding of when one utility or more than one utility is having issues. And we need to be able to come together and talk about what the most efficient and best solutions are for the system. Why? Because it may be that we all, you know, one team, one fight, as Steve said, if it's necessary for Wrangell and Petersburg to burn some diesel to help out Ketchikan because they're having a reliability issue with their diesels, then we'll do that and we'll all come back together after the fact to figure out what we need to do to make stuff work. So it's odd to me that SEPA and Ketchikan are having offline conversations about stuff that potentially impacts the system that Petersburg and Wrangell have nothing to do with. So, and I guess Steve mentioned this earlier, if Ketchikan enjoy, I fully respect Ketchikan's desire and willingness to be able to set some limits and protect their interests with regard to Swan. But if KPU has the ability to have a conversation with SEPA and say, you're going to cease selling water to the north, well, why the hell doesn't Wrangell and Petersburg have the ability to say, I don't like the lake levels right now? I mean, we started having conversations in October. If I had realized in October, I could have said, we're going to go on diesels because that's what's going to be best for Wrangell and we're going to get this all figured out, I sure as hell would have done it because that's what we wanted to do. But that was not an option we were given to make demands on SEPA. You guys run the SEPA, you know, infrastructure. So I guess it's irritating to me, not from Ketchikan's point of view, because I think they have the right to make those requests, but I guess it's irritating for me to know that one utility has the ability to make requests on SEPA, but the rest of us aren't invited to make those same sorts of demands when we feel like it's what we need that's best for our community. I understand that when we sit in this room, it's about doing what's best. You were very clear about that this morning, Joel, what's best for the organization. But what's best for the organization is also what's best for the member communities. And I think we have to start looking at this at ourselves as this integrated system. If that's what we're going to do, then that's what we need to do.
So, Mr. Chair, can I? Yeah, I don't know where that rooster came from, but
it was timely.
Yeah, I think I do know where it came from. I heard it yesterday. So, first of all, you're absolutely right. There's no, I mean, it's what a reasonable board member sitting in your circumstance would do. I just point out a couple things about the power sales agreement. I mean, first of all, the agreement, if you read through it carefully, it's a best efforts agreement. In other words, we're going to do our best efforts to manage water for the benefit of all member utilities. And second of all, there's risk. And if you go back to Dave Carlson's diesel memo, and if you go back to my opinion, this is back in 2010, we're saying that there's risk here, that we don't always have the ability to deliver. You know, there's a couple conditions in there that say, define what those exceptions are, but there's risk to everybody. So there's no, I mean, as hard as it is, it's my view of the power sales agreement, there's no guarantees. And that's really what we're talking about here. I mean, there's just no guarantees. So I want to say I agree with everything you said, that I think it's problematic from a point of view of implementing the power sales agreement as a document throughout the year that guides us. If one member utility makes demands without the benefit of the board. And I think as, you know, I mean, you know, they say a rising tide lifts all boats, a receding tide exposes cracks. And I think this receding tide, just to, you know, further the metaphor, I think it's exposed some real cracks in our operations, in our operations plan, and how we implement our operations, and the communications that go around that.
If I, Mr. Chair, I have a couple more thoughts. One, I'm trying not to lose it again because I've got a lot swimming around in my head. To your comment about it exposing things, I think this is an opportunity for us all to regroup and look at what we need to do. But it's important for me, I feel like sometimes that the decisions that are being made at the SEPA level are being made in a vacuum, extraneous of what we need for the benefit of SEPA, for the benefit of maximizing power sales. And although I understand maximizing power sales is what helps keep the wholesale cost of power low, and that benefits all of us, we need to make sure that we are not maximizing power sales at the peril, and maybe peril's too strong a word, but at the risk of the member communities. Because that's when you have maximizing of power sales that is putting the communities at risk, that's not a comfortable situation. And I guess the other thing I would say is when you have member communities coming to you expressing concern after concern after concern after concern after concern, even though you're looking at industry standards and even though you're paying attention to the weather forecasts, you know, and what's normal and all, I understand the decision making is only as good as the numbers you're looking at. I get that and I respect that. But at some point we have to listen to what is being said. And forgive my vernacular, but I can only say on the phone so many times, oh shit, I think we're going to be in trouble. And now, oh shit, here we are, we're in trouble. And, you know, I hate being a Monday morning quarterback, but we were. And so, please, when a member community is expressing a concern about something, I think it's valid to have a discussion. I think it's valid to get everybody together and say, okay, is anybody else feeling the same way? Do we need to take a look at something that's going to provide more comfort to the member utilities? Do we need to change our operations a little bit so that everybody is more comfortable, even though that may mean curtailing what is in the best interest for maximizing power sales? As long as we as the member communities all agree operationally that's the best thing to do, I think we need to have those discussions. And I'll get off my soapbox.
Lisa, you nailed it. And if I can speak to both Joel and Lisa.
Microphone, please.
If I can speak to both Joel and Lisa, I think you nailed it. And you know, so I've been around with SEPA now for, I guess, getting on close to 8 years. That power sales agreement, I read it quite often. And the two sections, Robert here, he used a piece of it in his development, his report, and I highlighted here, maximizing output from SEPA facilities. And I believe in the ops plan, that's the way that's written. However, if you look at section 3, which is the full requirements, you see the maximizing word has a modifier after it, and that modifier is called practicable. And so if we understand the word practicable in that sense, I think it adds what Joel is saying, a sensibility. Okay, it adds, it's a section 3.3, I think, it's C, section 3C, Joel. So we have an obligation to maximize to a level of practicable. And so there we have to apply sensibility and a sense of consequence to what's going on. So the issues that Ketchikan had earlier was that we identified that the lakes were plummeting. We identified at what points we thought we'd have to do some diesel mitigation. And at that time when we had conversations, the SEPA folks were still, the SEPA staff was still on maximizing output from SEPA. So if the water was there, that was the source, and didn't want us to burn diesel preemptively without that particular decision point being commonly met. And that was tough, right? And so that came out in a newspaper article in August, our conversation, and then ultimately suspension of additional dedicated to Ketchikan, and then that finally forced the diesel campaign. Okay, so I did also want to mention that in this diesel campaign today, even now, right now, we're below the 280 limit that we had previously established at a previous board meeting. We're still splitting that water 50-50. We're taking 50% of it, still 50% north today, right now, as we speak. And that's another function here. We'll have to decide today how we're going to bottle that up and use the remaining. Okay, so I sent that out earlier this morning. So I just want to thank you for the lead into the understanding maximizing output.
You.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm trying to turn my mic off, but it doesn't work anymore, so.
Can I ask my
design, right? we permanently
have to reset it.
So I would just like to add one other thing that I think at some point we're going to have to address, and that is the relationship that Ketchikan has with SEPA and the SEPA relationship with Ketchikan. And I think some of these things happen because there's distrust, and we are operating not optimally with one of our stakeholders. And you know, I think overall, Lisa and I have adopted a new philosophy, which is that we want to communicate as much as we can with Ketchikan and find out what's going on for them. And we've been attempting with Petersburg as well, but it's a little bit easier for us because we share some common realities. But I think that has to be repaired moving forward. And I'm not going to sit and point fingers at anybody and say it's this person or that person, but we got to get it together. And we got to make this thing work. We're all squarely in it, and it's extremely uncomfortable, I think, for SEPA staff and for Ketchikan staff. So I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but I think at some point that's going to have to be part of this discussion moving forward.
Totally. Thank you. Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I echo where Steve's at. There's some things need to be fixed. I've sat in a couple of the operational meetings, and I frankly don't want to be on the daily operations. But there's been at least three times I believe there should have been board discussions and decisions that ended up in the operational side of that that didn't belong there. And that's something, in my mind, has to be fixed. And sooner than later. The other side of that, I think I agree with Steve, is that from things that happened here in Ketchikan, I may not hear, you know, for a long time, you know, from a board member, because I don't want to be involved in the daily operations, but I think there has to be a way to call those board meetings quicker. And the other part of that is in setting in some of those, I think there's been questions on the table that really needed to be answered. Efficiency was one of them, and a couple of there were some other questions that I set in on. They simply never got answered that need to be followed up on. How we do that, I'm not sure at this point, but I think it's got to be specifically addressed.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Well, should we take lunch? Let's take lunch.
Yes. Yes.
I just took a look at sticks, and it does show that both Swan units are down right now with the temp of water left over the 280 mark. I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. I have 11:55 right now. They're going to be serving lunch in just a minute, so let's go ahead and take a break at this point and bring it back to the discussion. If we're looking for some type of resolution or think about what our next step is.
We're about there.
Yeah, we are about there.
We're on the fourth board on our agenda.
So let's go ahead and we'll come back to the fourth bullet on the agenda at 1 o'clock.
Are we breaking lunch or are we